you don't have some kind of a schedule and put things on that schedule, the boundaries, right, that your work created for you, your time will just slip away. So I think it's important that people, again, take hold of all of that 8 hours that they're getting back when they retire. And if you don't, the easiest thing to do is you end up doing nothing and you end up just kind of existing and becoming, well, first of all, very sedentary.
Well, that was Ben Tejas talking about the dangers of not having a schedule and living life in retirement without intentionality. Hey, everybody, Jared Sebesta here, co-host of Retire Repurposed. Well, on behalf of Ben Tejas and myself, thank you so much for joining us here today. Well, are you ready to renew, rethink, and even reimagine your retirement? Our goal on this show is to reshape the way that you think about your retirement. To us, retirement is not the end, rather the beginning of what could be the most intentional, the most purposeful, and the most impactful season of your life. But do you view it that way? Our tagline is don't retire, become repurposed, and we stand behind that. Well, on today's show, we're continuing to talk about your time. Time is your greatest asset. We all know without time, we really don't have anything. So how should you be spending that time? If not careful, the everyday life of a retiree will begin to look mundane. Days will flow seamlessly into the next, and every day may look like Saturday. In this podcast, Ben Tejas is going to give you 5 non-negotiables that must be included in the everyday life of a retiree. Enjoy this episode. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Jared Sebesta here. We're so glad that you're joining us here on Retire Repurposed. I've been saying this to kick off the last several shows, but if you're new to the show, if you're searching for a podcast strictly on retirement, first of all, you come to the right place, but you're going to hear a little different language. In fact, a lot of different language on this particular show. This is going to be a show that we don't spend a lot of time talking about the finances, the strategy into retirement. That's for another show on a different time, but we talk about the life side. How can you have not only the best life, but the best retirement? And so if that is on your radar, if that's something that you want, you have certainly come to the right place. If you want to check out more episodes, again, find us on your favorite podcasting platform. We're on all of them. Go back and listen to our shows because we've got a lot of shows, almost 200 episodes on our platforms where we talk about life and retirement. So go check that out. Well, we have started a little mini series talking about time, specifically how you spend your time. Our philosophy is based around time, talent, and treasure. We believe that of the three, time is the most important. So we've spent the last several episodes just talking about specific ways that you can spend your time. A couple of episodes, we talked about how much time do you really have left? What is the best way to spend your time? How are people actually spending their time? Ben Tejas joins me on the show now. And Ben, that show, we referred back to a study done by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And there were some pretty shocking findings with that particular study where people really, for the most part, just use the extra 8 hours in their day to do almost nothing with that new block of time.
Yeah, there were some parts of that that bothered me, Jared. I remember the part about learning, right? It was almost no time learning and very little time traveling. And I think that's something that we talked to a lot of retirees about. It's like, hey, if I wasn't working, I would be able to take up this new hobby. I'd be able to, you know, do this new thing, or I'd be able to spend more time with, you know, my family. And I'd also be able to travel so much more. Mm-hmm. And really, two of those three, really, it didn't move the bar at all as far as what people did with their newfound time.
Yeah, their life pre-retirement and after retirement really was about the same. And they filled up a lot of that extra time with things like watching TV. And so that was really sobering for me as well, because again, you think that your life is going to change drastically. It's the way it's sold in society that once you retire, all of a sudden everything's going to change. And it really wasn't that way.
You know, I think it's because we don't set the schedule, right? And we're talking about that a little bit in these last few shows, right? About just making sure you're setting a schedule. You're not just letting the time get away from you, because if we do nothing, nothing will probably happen.
Yeah, exactly. The last two shows, we talked about how to start your day and how to end your day. We spent entire episodes talking about the bookends, how to start with gratitude, have a gratitude journal, and then end your day with reflection. That's something we've been preaching on this show for many years. And then last week, we had a really special guest. In fact, two special guests on our show, Dave and Andy Dahl. Now, if you're not living in the Midwest or around Minnesota and Western Wisconsin, you may not know the levity of that name. But Dave Dahl was a longtime TV weatherman for over 40 years on KSTP out of the Twin Cities. He retired back in 2020. We had him and his son on the show last week, Ben. And they have a YouTube show now where they just have honest conversations. I thought last week's show was really, really interesting because I think it goes back to how can you spend your time, your days left, to really create deep, meaningful relationships with family.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything more important, right? As people age and as people come closer to the end of life, they start to recognize what was most important. And I think also with that, like hearing Dave talk about specifically like the things that he's aired out or been able to talk about the son was very impactful to me, Jared. I thought it was very interesting hearing him actually wrestle with some of the things that, you know, that, you know, for his son, you know, Andy, he didn't even know, right, how his dad looked at life at a different time and made assumptions. And that's what we all do. But it was very, very eye-opening for me to kind of listen to that back and forth.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool because I think that what they're trying to inspire people to do is to have these conversations, these open conversations, where we just understand each other. I think that, you know, especially, you know, I have aging parents that are still with us, which is great. But like now when I'm with my parents, I ask a lot of questions about what it was like when they were my age, because they were raising me when they were my age. And now I think I have a better understanding with why they did what they did, thought the way that they thought, parented the way they parented, because I'm now at their age. And it's the same parallel that Andy and Dave are having these conversations. And at one point during the show, I said, there's got to be some greater understanding and almost healing and therapy happening. And they said unequivocally, yes. So again, the whole point of that show is really to inspire you to have these conversations and spend your time wisely, whether you're retired, have adult children, or on both sides of that platform.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking a lot about time, right? And I think what people don't realize is they don't know how much time they've got left until you stop and think about it. And you say, well, I may not have the 15 years or 20 years to go and talk to my dad, talk to my mom, talk to my kids. So really this whole series, Jared, started with that client interaction I had where one of my clients is 86 and he said, you know, I'm probably going to live to be age 90. And I just had him walk through the process of 4 more years. That's really it. You have 4 years to live in his mind. And I asked him, well, how do you wrap your head around that? And he said, exactly the same way you should, Ben, because you don't know if you've got 4 years or 4 days, right, or 40. So I think that, to me, is how people have to look at this communication. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting hearing Dave and his son walk through that.
Absolutely. If you missed last week's show, again, go check that out. Go check out our other shows. Subscribe while you're there. But some really, really good stuff here on time over the last couple of weeks. We're going to continue this mini-series today talking about time. Again, we've talked about how do you start each day? How do you end each day? We spent entire episodes just on those two pieces. But now, like, what should you do in the middle? So we titled today's show 5 Non-Negotiables for Every Retirement Day. We're going to get into the meat of what every day should include. Ben, let's just start things off here with kind of an easy question. What happens, or what could happen to a retiree if they don't take this idea of being intentional with their time seriously?
Well, going back to that study we referenced earlier in the show, Jared, your time just wastes away, right? I mean, if you don't have some kind of a schedule and put things on that schedule, the boundaries, right, that your work created for you, your time will just slip away. So I think it's important that people, again, take hold of all of that 8 hours that they're getting back when they retire. And if you don't, the easiest thing to do is you end up doing nothing, mm-hmm, and you end up just kind of existing and becoming, well, first of all, very sedentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think that's the point. And we've talked about this a number of times, but the point of retirement isn't to do nothing. Now, that's kind of how it's advertised, so to speak. And you know, I think, Ben, what story I'm going to tell here, but I had a chance to go speak to a bunch of retirees recently. I think it was probably last year or so. And before I gave my little talk over a lunch and learn, I went through the crowd and I was like, what do you got planned today? And so many of them said nothing. And they were really happy about that.
It's like a badge of honor almost.
Kind
of. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not going to do anything. I'm like, really? Nothing? I'm like, it's only noon. And they're like, yeah, nothing. I'm like, what are you going to do after here? I don't know. Probably just head home and just kind of sit around. And again, I understand. No disrespect to those people. And if you've thought that, again, no disrespect. I just, it's this idea of how we view our time. Not that we need to live in constant urgency of death. That's not suggesting that we do that. But yet understanding the magnitude of time. Because like what you just said, if there is no boundaries, you will do nothing. It will be it'll be kind of a hollow existence, and the result would be just a sedentary life.
Yeah, and for those folks, they touch on the second one that I think about is you come very alone. It's easy. The easiest thing to do is to kind of just, you know, be alone, watch some TV, let the day happen to you. And it is easier to do nothing. The question is, it will take work to do something, to get out there and, you know, spend some time with other people, to get in an activity. But just because it's easier, that does not make it better. In fact, most of the time, it makes it worse. The hardest stuff that we have to do that tends to be the best for us takes work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely right. And you always talk about the gym story in your book, Repurpose. That's a feature story, but that was another example of how somebody retired and then all of a sudden lost all boundaries on their time and how negatively that affected him. So we've got five non-negotiables that we're going to talk about. Again, this is what every day, for the most part, should include. Now, it's not set in stone that it has to be this way, but I think this is a great start. Let's call it that. This is a great start for people to look at how we can, what we can include in each day to really make it everything it should be. Ben, what's number one?
Well, just be clear, Jared. These are for retirees, right? These aren't necessarily for me and you.
No. What was interesting is, you know, you're bringing up a funny point. I was going to mention that, though. As we've gone through these, this is where your life should be anyway. That's kind of like a dirty little secret in the retirement conversation. Your life should actually be one filled with life prior to retirement, not just post-retirement. And so this is for everybody, but I know why you're saying this.
Well, I'm saying that because I went for a walk on literally Saturday, and Megan's like, my wife is, we're on this walk, and it's so cold today. This isn't, you know, I didn't want to be doing this morning. And she's like, are you doing what you're saying on your show?
Shocker, right?
And yeah, it turns out that we should be doing the same things that we're sharing with our listeners. But, you know, I think let's start there. I think every single retiree's day should come with some kind of activity, some movement, right? And I think don't forget that your job, no matter how sedentary career you had, it brought you movement. You had to go to your job. You had to move from one place to the other. Even an office job, there's movement there. Mm-hmm. And too many times retirees lose that, and that guardrail around like, hey, the movement is part of my daily routine. And if you take that away, sometimes you end up becoming very sedentary.
A lot of people start their day with, you know, reading, coffee. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just telling you from my experience, the first thing I do is I go for a walk. Then I hit the coffee and then I hit the book or whatever that is. To me, it might be just be how I'm wired. But even in that morning routine of like getting my mind right, getting my day like positioned and aligned in my mind so I can go and have a very intentional good day, I still have to start a little bit of movement. I still love, you know, incorporating movement throughout my day, but I love just getting, I don't know if it's just the way I am, but my body responds really good to just starting the day, kind of kicks it into gear. But to me, that is like, that's an easy mini win right off the bat. It feels like we've done something. If I don't do that, if I'm sick or something like that, and I'm just kind of lethargic, my physical and mental health kind of starts to go down from there. But, you know, is that a walk? Is that, what does that look like? How can we just incorporate movement in our everyday life?
Well, I just think it has to be something, right? And again, you have to realize, and I would go back if I'm newly retired or even been retired for a little while and feeling like I'm in a funk, I'd say, look at specifically at the work you were doing. Mm-hmm. Where was your movement? And pattern after that. Say, okay, I've got to recognize, I mean, whether it's a smartwatch or something, how many steps you're getting and take an accounting of that, right? But I just think being standing and moving around makes a huge difference. I know in my personal life, when I follow my own advice and I'm in activity, things tend to go better.
Yeah, I think a lot of these things are all tied together. You know, like we're mind, we're soul, we're body. They all affect each other when one of them is improved. You know, The opposite is true. Where one is lacking, there's going to be lack that will carry over in other those in other areas. I've had a lot of people ask me, they're like, you know, I'm not where I want to be in my life, or I'm struggling with having good days or whatever. I'm always going to go right to the physical, because that one I can easily control that one. Going for a 10-minute walk is pretty easy to do. That's not that hard. That will do nothing but good things for you. You know, I go to the gym every day with my son. I don't look at that as a time where, like, I'm trying to build my muscles and get my physique ready. I look at that. That's a win. At least I got a win in the physical department. So I would challenge you, kind of what you said, Ben, like, if you don't know where to start, this is a really easy one to start with and not too hard to pull off every day.
Yeah, it should be. And don't think workout, like go to the gym. Just think move. Just think move. I mean, I think we've talked about this zone two movement idea where you're not like necessarily running and building a hard sweat up, mm-hmm. but you're moving at a pace that is not just leisure. It's just a touch faster than that. It's like me trying to keep up with my wife walking, because she's a fast walker. For me, that does it. But I think you just have to do something with a little bit more activity and maybe push yourself a little bit to just keep movement in your life.
The first one is movement, activity. This should be part of every single day. Ben, what's number two?
Well, the next one, we shouldn't have to make this in the list, but it does. I think people need to have some fun. I think retirees have to realize, I've got to make sure that at least during every day, I have something enjoyable mm-hmm. in my life to do.
I mean, I think this comes as like a no-brainer. Of course, we're going to have some fun. Again, the problem is when fun is the only thing that happens throughout our day. Yes, there should be some more intentional time, but who's to say that you can't have fun? And we don't want to make people sound like we're the anti-fun people, because that is a huge part of it.
Oh, it is. But go back to that study, right, that we've talked about on the past few shows. Notice that in that study, it didn't say that most retirees took the 8 hours and just had three or four of them became fun hobbies.
Right.
In fact, it wasn't even really, it didn't move the needle. Mm-hmm. So why is that, right? It's because I think people aren't just making you got to make an effort mm-hmm. to actually do something fun within your day. It probably won't just happen. Mm-hmm. Again, the easiest thing is to stay home and do nothing,
right.
Watch TV. But if you can take that step and recognize that other retirees that you maybe about the same age are probably dealing with the same thing, mm-hmm. they also don't want to take the first step, but invite them out. Invite them out to go play pickleball, to go golf, to go just go for a walk together, and then you combine the fun, right, with the activity. Mm-hmm. But I think it starts with just recognizing that naturally, I'm just not going to all of a sudden have fun. I have to bring somebody else into my life typically in order to make that happen.
You mentioned pickleball. I was going to say that, because when I watch retirees playing pickleball, they're having a lot of fun and they're getting exercise. So it knocks out these first two, which also leads into number three, which is really kind of the social aspect, right?
Yeah, I think we're created, Jared, right, to be in communion with people. And one of the scariest things for a new retiree, and one of the worst things, is isolation. So if you can remember that every single day you need some social interaction. Ideally we'd combine it with activity and make it enjoyable. But sometimes it just means I'm serving on a board, or I'm part of a little committee at church, or I'm going for coffee with somebody. It's just being, just speaking, right? Using your voice. Several shows ago, I talked about one of my clients who came in and didn't even recognize during their day that they had never opened their mouth to speak.
She spent
from waking in the morning, never left the house, didn't do anything, and the next day felt off and recognized, why did I feel so off? And she's like, well, yesterday I never even went to talk to somebody at the gas station filled with gas. I never went to a restaurant. I never even made a phone call. I never opened my mouth to speak.
No.
That is not how we're designed and created to thrive.
Dan Buettner wrote a book called Blue Zones. We've mentioned it many, many, many episodes ago. Great book, by the way. Highly recommend. Not a Christian book, but just a book based in study and research. But studying people that have insane longevities from around the world, one of the common factors, and just bear with me here for a second, was drinking red wine. Now, we're not saying that you should go out and start drinking red wine because, we told you to do it on this podcast. But what he says in that book is, he's like, what's happening when you're having a glass of wine? Who are you with? Well, you're typically with your spouse, or you're with friends. Well, what are you doing? You're hanging around over dinner. or at, you know, after a round of golf, and you're having fun, and there's probably laughter involved. So again, I'm not you know, trying to break down the science and physiology behind this, but like, what's more beneficial? Is it this is actually the red wine, or is it the activity that you're getting with it? Ben, you've talked about your grandma, Oma, where you play cards. And talking about how the activity of playing cards, there probably was a psychological thing that was happening in her brain by playing cards. But what was getting more benefit? Was it the card playing or the fact that she was around other people playing and laughing?
Yeah, it was all the social interaction, right? I mean, she could play cards without actually thinking about the cards, right? Mm-hmm. So that probably wasn't necessarily a, you know, the mental gymnastics didn't add anything to, you know, her brain. But what did was the interaction and thinking through the conversation, the depth at which your brain works when you converse with somebody, you know, not always even positive things, sometimes the hardest stuff that you're going through, like, what do I say next? How do I relate? How do I help this person? Is far better for your brain than just, you know, having a light conversation. So I think that's part of this too is, yeah, it's got generally, and hopefully those conversations are fun, but sometimes they're not.
Yeah.
Sometimes just being there for somebody who's going through something that's really hard may actually do more benefit to you,
right
in this conversation than really you give yourself credit for.
Number one is activity and movement. Number two is fun. Number three is social time. What's number four?
Well, adding value and you know, based on even that last conversation, the conversation with others, a great way to add value to somebody, Jared, is simply to listen to them, to be somebody that is in their corner, somebody that you know you can just help somehow just by simply having, you know, an ear for them.
One thing I've tried to do here each morning is I try to send out like 3 texts a day, you know, somewhere in the morning to somebody I haven't touched base with for a while, or maybe I touch base with them regularly, but just even like encouragement. Hey, I was thinking about you today. Hey, love what you're doing. Hey, I saw your post on Facebook. Thought that that was great. Hey, saw that you did this. Great stuff. Love watching and have a great day. Relational capital is just I don't know if there's a better capital to invest in, you know, and again, we're not going to break down the finances here, but like, what a great thing to do with the mindset of like, I'm going to try to add as much value, shine as much light as I possibly can per day. What you get back, that's what you don't understand. Like, you're helping people, but you're doing this for somewhat selfish intent because you get so much back from it. That's a piece of retirement that is just not talked about enough, and you have such a great opportunity to do that every day.
Yeah, it's we say, hey, here's the things you got to engineer in your day, right? Mm-hmm. Adding value to others. We're telling you to do that for your own good.
Right, exactly.
It isn't necessarily for the others. It's great. I mean, it's an added benefit that, hey, you're there for somebody, you're helping somebody, you're making a difference in your community or family. Mm-hmm. But really, it is for your own individual benefit. I know this in my own life. When I focus on me, right, the traditional, you know, selfish reasons for doing things, that it tends to be the worst days.
Right.
When I'm coming to work, I got to get this done for myself, self, versus turning it around and saying, what can I do for others? Mm-hmm. My days are completely different and so much more rewarding. And I end up getting more in the end for myself by helping others.
The last one is rest. We've got about a minute and a half left here. Rest. Every day should involve rest, Ben, but there's a caveat with that, right?
Well, yeah, Jared, it has to be earned rest. It has to be rest that comes from a place of accomplishing something, whether that be, you know, actual exercise or adding value to others or getting a big project accomplished. It has to be earned rest. Mm-hmm. So not just simply, you know, lazy rest, if you will, but rest that came out of a place of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after you've added value, then that rest feels good and feels right. I've been listening to a ton of Jim Rohn lately, and there's one particular video I've listened to a lot, but he just talks about how rest is not the object. It's not the end goal. And he says the point of life isn't rest, it's action. Ben, just talk about that for a second. Retirement, yes, a time of leisure, a time of slowing down a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's still a time in your life where you can go out and take action to help others.
Yeah, your job's not done. I mean, there's nowhere it says in the Bible, certainly, where it says, hey, once you retire, now your days are done adding value to others. In fact, Quite the opposite. In fact, many people find in retirement they add the most value to their community and their families than ever before. Now, you remember, when you do that, right, when you serve others, when you add value, the rest will come, right? That just can't be the goal. Like, you can't have a goal of just resting and leisure, but that will come from adding value to others.
Securities offered through Avantax Investment Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Avantax Advisory Services. Insurance services offered through an Avantax-affiliated insurance agency.
Hey everybody, Jared Sebesti, your host of Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. Few people could just flip the switch from working a career 30 or 40 plus years, retiring on Friday, without methodical steps to living what we call a repurposed retirement. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.